given the struggle that people go through to overcome an addiction, we're not going to let a little bit of snow or rain keep us from this conference, are we? Absolutely not. My name is Robert Sand. Bobby, I'm a professor here at the Vermont Law School, one of the co-organizers of today's event. Welcome to the third annual-ish treatment court conference here at the Vermont Law School. Our first year, we looked at innovative criminal justice programs across the criminal justice spectrum. Last year, we focused on best practices. And this year, as our treatment courts have matured, we're going to look at lessons learned. What is it that we have learned within our treatment courts that we can export to the rest of our practices, to the rest of our dockets, to the rest of our work? Now, you might ask, if we can just start implementing treatment court practices in the rest of our dockets, why do we even need treatment courts at all? It's a fair question, and let me answer that with a short story. Can you all hear in the back? Okay. Am I shouting? Let me start shouting. So when my daughter was born, I said to my wife, you know, we should really raise Anna bilingually. It's a global economy. A second language will expand her thinking and increase opportunities. And my wife said, that's a great idea. And that night, I was reflecting on my wife's comment, and I realized that I had misappreciated the inflection in her voice. And really what she had said was, that's a great idea. Sarcasm. Now, why was my wife giving a sarcastic response to my proposal that we raise our child bilingually? And then it hit me. Neither of us speak a second language. Not Japanese, not Chinese, not Spanish, and frankly, just enough French to ask où est la salle de bain, which, by the way, is down the hall and to the left, down the hall and down the stairs, or all the way down the hall to the next building and to the left. As many of you know, some of those toilettes are composting. Don't drop your cell phone down there. Why? Parce que ce n'est pas joli. So you cannot raise a child bilingually if you don't speak two languages. You cannot implement treatment court practices and techniques unless you know the methods, the techniques, and the language of treatment courts. So I hope at the end of the day, you're not inquiring, why do we have treatment courts? But instead, you are asking yourself, why, given what we know about how treatment courts, when they are properly run, reduce recidivism rates, save criminal justice and public health dollars, change lives, and as I think we will see today, not just of the participants, but also of the professionals involved with the court, why do we not have more of them? Why is it in a state that cares about geographic justice, do we only have four counties with adult treatment courts? Why do we not have access across the state of Vermont to a treatment court approach? We would not be here without a team effort by many folks. So let me introduce to you the members of the team. First, a great champion of treatment courts in Vermont, Chief Judge Brian Grierson, who is here. The Regional Treatment Court Coordinator for the Court Administrator's Office, Kim Owens, who unfortunately could not be here today. Christine Brock, the Superior Court Clerk in Chittenden County. Stephen Von Seitis, the Court Coordinator in Chittenden and Franklin Counties. Where is Stephen? Hiding someplace, all right. Betsy Ross from Governor's Highway Safety Program, who is not here. Stephanie Clark, the former Windsor County DUI Treatment Court Coordinator and a person who provided great assistance to the Rutland and Washington County Drug Court. Stephanie is here. You'll hear from her a little bit later. David Cahill, the Windsor County State's Attorney, one of the faculty members involved with Vermont Law School's innovative criminal law clinic. But David's most important credential is that he is a proud new papa. Anna Saxman from the Defender General's Office, Anna's here, also a professor at Vermont Law School, also involved with the Criminal Law Clinic, and a longtime teacher of criminal practice and procedure here at VLS. Do not even try to enroll in her class. It is always oversubscribed. Please don't hold your applause. And on behalf of the Vermont Law School Criminal Law Society, Stephanie von Staten, who is here someplace, who will be taking pictures. And I should also say, at the 11th hour, we received a considerable assist from Michael Kennedy, Bar Counsel. Michael will be here later to lead an afternoon session. At Vermont Law School, thanks to Kathy McCullough for event assistance, Martina, and everyone involved with food services, Andrew Brackett and folks with buildings and grounds, but especially Jeff Knudsen for setup, Bill Bond for his AV work and recording. We are recording the sessions today. Lori Dubrell for her work setting up the webpage. On the webpage, you will find the agenda, a copy is at the table as well, a CLE certificate, and presenter biographies. Sometime within the next 2 weeks, we will post as well the audio recording. Lastly, a special thanks to Erin Webster Chambers for her assistance in all things administrative. She put up with email servers that went down, and she put up with me. So, Erin, thank you. A few logistical things. Most of our sessions will last an hour, and that, I believe, is 60 minutes. Chris Whidden in the front of the room will have time cards. You'll get a 10-minute warning, a 5-minute warning, a 1-minute warning, and then the big red X. If you go much past the big red X, do you know what's going to happen? Ce n'est pas joli. So let's honor the X, please. It would be wonderful if folks would try to use the exit at the far end of the room, just because these doors tend to clank a bit. And with that, it's now my pleasure to introduce to you a former New York City police officer, a current Vermont Law School student, and a co-chair of the Vermont Law School Criminal Law Society, Jose Maldonado, Jr.
Thank you, Professor Sand. It's really an honor to be here in front of distinguished professionals such as yourselves. I'll keep my remarks brief. I would like to thank the volunteers here who were so invaluable this morning and throughout this process in making this happen. That's Stephanie Van Staden, Bert Whidden, Elizabeth Simi, and Matt Malika. And if you could give them a round of applause, they've been working very hard. Yeah, I'm co-chair of the Criminal Law Society, along with Allison Shute, who's back there as well. She's a great partner in this venture and trying to raise more awareness of criminal law here. It's really been an honor, number one, to be here in Vermont and to see all the incredible programs here that you don't see in a big city. You don't see in New York City. Sometimes, you know, in a large community like New York and a lot of people there, these specified programs aren't really available to have that individual touch. So it's interesting, and it'll be very fascinating to see that here. And Vermont Law School has been great. It's been really a blessing to be here. And I've been very fortunate, after about 10 years of being a New York City police officer, to come over here and to meet just like-minded individuals, and it's been just a great thing. So I would like to, at this point, introduce Dean and President Mark Mahaly, who will say a few words, too. So, thank you again.
Thank you. Morning, everybody, and welcome to Vermont Law School. I'm particularly impressed that you all actually made it here. And if you're like me, many of you have not even called for an appointment for your snow tires yet. I'm really glad that we're doing this here. This is what the law school is for. This is how the law school serves this community. This is an incredibly important issue, and we're delighted to see it here and see all of you here. This is an issue. I also think it's really excellent that this is the third one, that the process of coming together, thinking about an issue, and then coming together again, and then again, and iteratively thinking about an issue, I think really improves the quality of the thought and the thinking. I'm particularly glad that Justice Reiber has joined us today. I think Justice Beth Robinson is here.
Yeah.
Beth, a supporter of the school, thank you for coming. Former Associate Justice Brian Burgess, where are you?
Not seen him yet. Not yet.
Not yet. And then, as Chief Judge Grierson has been introduced, and former Administrative Judge and VLS Trustee, I'm proud to say, Amy Davenport. Where are you, Amy? Thank you for coming. And many other trial judges. I'm glad you're here. And I see a number. There seems to be a legislator's table here, isn't there? And I'm really glad. It's great. It's great that you are here. And also, we have Diane Derby representing Senator Leahy's office is here, and also Catherine Van Haste representing Senator Sanders' office. Thank you for coming. And all the prosecutors and defenders and probation officers and treatment providers, as well as students and community leaders, it's great you're here. We strongly feel that this issue of criminal justice reform has really arrived in this sense. There comes a moment, you all know this, there comes a moment when you've turned a gentle corner and all of a sudden you find that the, opinion leaders of the country, you know, the 8 or 10 million people in the country who are professionals, who think about issues, et cetera, become aware of an issue and begin to crystallize a position. And I think that's happening, that the fact that the criminal justice system and that incarceration is not an adequate solution to a lot of problems has gone from kind of a fringe issue to an issue that is, well, of course, it's accepted. And I really think that moment has come. So a lot of what we do here is respond intuitively to those feelings. So I want to tell you a little story. About 7 or 8 years ago, it came to me when I was running the environmental part of this school that, agriculture, food, and the environment are related, duh. But it sort of came to me, I thought, there's no law school in the country that has a really good food systems program. Except one in Arkansas, and they have a big ag orientation, of course. So isn't this an opportunity? So I started looking around, working with Senator Leahy's office, looking for money to start a center for agriculture and food systems. And I just couldn't get the money. So one day I get called by the admissions office. And this rarely happens. I walk over there, and they're all there. And they say, Mark, everybody's asking us when they visit where the Center for Food Systems is. And what do we tell them? Well, I didn't have an answer, but I went back to my office and I wrote on a sheet of paper, Center for Agriculture and Food Systems, and stuck it on my door and announced it. And well, 5 years later, we have millions of dollars coming in, and it's one of the most popular programs. We have a master's degree. We have an advanced LLM degree in agriculture and food systems here. So I want to announce that we now have the Vermont Law School Center for Criminal Justice Reform.